Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West here in the Bay Area, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. Today, with my phenomenal host and my phenomenal on everything, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Great to see you again.
And you too. And
I'll be home tonight for dinner, I promise. With Dr. Mary, we have been doing these Life by Life West for quite a while, and we have a wonderful guest. We have someone coming in with us from Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, Dr. Evan Katz. So welcome, Dr. Evan. Good to see you.
Great to see you too. And thank you so much, both of you, for having me on. I'm excited.
Absolutely. We're very excited. And I just want to tell our audience a little bit about Dr. Evan. So Dr. Evan's he graduated from Life West in 2000, went straight to Boulder, started practicing right away. We'll probably get into that a little bit. And he's just had a major, phenomenal, major career. He lectures all over the place. He got into CBP while he was here, chiropractic biophysics, and he just got going, and he's doing research and doing all kinds of things, published. We'll talk about it later, probably, but published a ton. And he's just doing amazing things for patients and amazing things for the chiropractic community. Lectures all over the country, probably the world. Was just recently, last year, I'm reading it right here, you were the 2023 Colorado Chiropractic Association Innovator of the Year, which is a very huge, huge award, and kudos to that. And he's just doing amazing things. Sat on the board of the Colorado Association, does stuff with CBP, met his bride, Dr. Shauna, at Life West, and they're together in Boulder. And I think the pride of your life, obviously, beyond all the practice and beyond everything else, is your beautiful daughter, Sophie, right? You know, because obviously kids and our family is everything to us. And just a great, great, great person. And I want to put this out because, man, you come to campus and you speak and you always take care of our students and you're always like, you know, buying a big lunch and doing all kinds of stuff. It's like, you are like, you know, Uncle Evan, you know, when Uncle Evan comes, that's what it's like. So,
well, I mean, I remember how that was. And it's so great going back to Life West where you see these students. Because last time I was there, they're standing in line for lunch and like buying that $8 thing. Like, and I was like, dude, I'm gonna buy all you guys lunch. Like, yeah. And I remember if someone bought you a meal as a student, major day.
Exactly.
Huge.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, this is great. I get to do this, you know? So yeah.
They appreciate it. I'm telling you, they appreciate it. So we love you, brother. And of course we got the same barber. So you know, it's just the genetics, you know. But truthfully, we choose to be like this. It's not genetics. But anyways, let's go forward because I think we got a lot to go through today.
Yeah.
Mary, you want to start? Want me to start?
Yeah, let me jump in. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. We always ask people like how they found chiropractic, and most of the stories end up people talking about how chiropractic found them.
Yep.
So just tell us your story of like how chiropractic found you, and what was the inflection point when you said, this is what I'm meant to do.
So I was a little lucky where growing up in Newburgh, New York, my mom's brother, my uncle Jerry Whitner, who's still practicing, and I think he's 84 years. He's been a chiropractor for like 60 years.
Wow.
So when I was younger, my mom used to take me to him and I would get adjusted and I would just feel better, right? Like I never really asked. He didn't really educate me because I was a young kid and I probably wouldn't have really gotten it anyway. I just knew. It was like, you know, when you do something to your dog and they just like, I don't know, it's working. It's not a placebo, it's working.
Yeah,
That's how I felt. And my mom would take me. So I always had that growing up. And I still talk to my Uncle Jerry today. And
so from what age? Where did it start?
Oh, gosh. You know,
do you even remember? Were you like an infant?
No, I probably don't remember the first time I went there because I was always going there because he lived, you know, 5-10 minutes from where I lived, where his sister was, my mom. So we were just always there. And his practice still to this day, he had his house, and then you walk downstairs, and his practice is in his house, which I don't even know if you could do that anymore, like commercial.
You can in certain states. You can.
So every time we would go over there, I would go downstairs, and his office was there, and I get adjusted. So I honestly, that's a good question. I don't remember how old, but it was obviously young enough that I don't remember the first time. I just remember going.
Right. Well, I got to share something with you because Newburgh, New York.
Yeah.
You know who practiced in Newburgh, New York, who came from Newburgh, New York?
Who?
I believe it was Newburgh, Palmer Pete. Do you know
was
Palmer?
It really?
Yeah. And Palmer's parents practiced there. And they got like 15, 18, 20 chiropractors in the family. And his grandmother illustrated most of BJ's books, the green books and different stuff. I mean, just incredible history of stuff coming out of Newburgh, New York, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dude, my uncle, he's still going, practicing, and he won't stop. I mean,
and you, it was just part of your health regime. Your mom took you there on a regular basis. It wasn't about back pain. It wasn't.
I would just get adjusted. And I told
so when did you know you, when did you know you wanted to be a chiropractor?
Well, so I ended up unfortunately having trauma, and I really hurt my back. And I would see a chiropractor. I saw a chiropractor, but then I moved. And I always loved anatomy and science. And, you know, back then there was no internet. So it was a lot harder to find like specialties, so to speak, I guess. And I started looking. I looked at dentistry. I looked at being, you know, a medical doctor. And all the medical doctors at the time that I interviewed, they were like, don't do it. Because I was like, when HMOs came in and PPOs, and every physical therapist that I interviewed, they liked what they did. And every chiropractor seemed to really love their career choice. And my Uncle Jerry was like, why be a PT? Like, they can't do what we can. And if you want, you could do what they can. So it's more school as a chiropractor, be a chiropractor. And I was like, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. So it always helped me. I always had it as part of my regime, even after like severe trauma to my back. I had it before trauma, had it after. And then I was like, oh, I could learn science and I could do this. So that's, you know, and then luckily I found Life West.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find Life West? Because you were on the East Coast at that point, right?
I was on the East Coast. Well, I came out to Colorado and I was going to school in Colorado, and I knew I wasn't going back East, you know, like the mountains too much. And, you know, and again, this was really before the internet. So you had you got pamphlets from schools, you know, and I looked and I found out that for me, the big draw for Life West was I felt like the instructors that were there and the clubs like CBP and other offerings. And I was like, wow, they offer a lot more. And I thought in the area where it was too, I was like, oh, you know, I could still ski. And which it's not like you have that much time when you're a student to ski.
That's true.
So I looked at all the others and I came and I actually went to a lot. I went to a lot of the others, and then I was like, I'm definitely going to Life West.
I love it. And were you in Boulder when you went to Colorado to go to school? Did you go to school at Colorado
University? Yeah, I was going to school in Boulder, and I was working with the intention of getting a lot of my undergrads and going to Life West. And what happened was, like an idiot, again, before the internet, I took like, I think it was like 100+ credits of science undergrad. And Life West was like, oh, well, you need, you know, it's like, you need this one, you need that one. I'm like, I took the wrong ones. So I actually went out to Life Georgia just to do the exact ones for only, I think I was there like 4 months.
Yeah, for the
undergrad. So I was like, I literally had like 100+. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to make sure this is right. I went out to Life Georgia, and then with the intention of not staying, I was like, I want a short-term lease. I want to get the hell out of here. And knowing I was coming to Life West.
I love it.
So that was my, you know, in school here. Right. Took a lot of courses. Some of them weren't the right ones. And then I wanted, you know, and then
it's great. So I've got a question because, you know, you came out here, you started, you know, chiropractic, it was kind of in your DNA almost, if you could say that, you know, just from an early age, so to speak, right? With your uncle and research. Talk to me about research. Like, where did the research come out of?
Yeah, so I owe a lot, and I've always said this, one of my main mentors, who I still, when I see her, I try to treat her like the queen that she is, because she's been so integral in like setting me up for that, was Carrie Duggins, Dr. Carrie Duggins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who I think is still at Life West or part. Yeah. And so when I was at school, I had a lot of questions. You know, I was like, well, what about this? Or how does this change? Does this change? And Carrie, Dr. Duggins, was always like challenging me in what she did to all of her students in a really great way. And a lot of it was like, well, those are great thoughts. Why don't you look into that? Right. And she knew the answer, and she would direct me to the library. And then I would start pulling up this research. I'm like, oh my God, there's studies on this. This makes a lot of sense. And then I would start to implement it even in clinic, where I was like, well, we're doing this because of this. And that just kind of charged me. And a lot, you know, and, you know, this might be real controversial, but a lot of times you're like, okay, well, we removed the subluxation. And I was like, well, how do you know? You know, and I ask those questions, and sometimes they're looked at as wrong or, you know, abrasive, but I'm like, I want to know. And then what I found was a lot of the stuff that's been out there or has been published, or even recently some of the publications that I did, I'm like, you can show that. And you can show that these true spinal subluxations wreak havoc on the physiology. And for the amount of times I've testified in court, they ask those questions and you're like, well, I can show this. And it resonated, where I'm like, oh, this is known. And here we go.
I mean, Mary, for me, it's like to look at Evan, you know, you got someone who's published quite a bit and he's doing research. I don't know, you usually have a project going on, if not more than one. And yet you're in practice and seeing many people and, you know, very successful practice. And to keep that balance going, you know, is phenomenal. I mean, it's just great. And I sense it's the passion, you know.
And it is. And I think, you know, like the easy part is when you have a practice, you see things and you start to see amazing stuff, right? We all hear these amazing stories. But I was like, well, why is that happening? Or why does it happen on three of these people and not this one?
Yeah.
And we don't have, and a lot of it, it's like, we don't know. So I started, you know, especially the amount that I testified, where I'm like, they're going to question this. I was like, you know, I want to know. So having, you know, very busy practice where we can pull that information and then say, and I'll be the first to admit it, I'm horrible at writing it up. I'm great at presenting. I'm great to say, hey, here's what's happening. Does this cause this? And then we look at it, and then we hire a PhD or something to do the work, and we send it out and we blindly look at it to see, like, is this or is this not? So it's passionate, but it's also like, I don't know, you know, this is doing this to the patients, either in the good way or the bad way, either with treatment or this true spinal subluxation is causing this. And let's try to show this.
Yeah.
And I wondered, my question is like, being in practice, yes, I saw a lot of great things, but where I stopped, and maybe you can answer this question, was like, I don't know how to do research.
Well,
which is why I never did it.
And that's hard. But the good thing now with the internet, as we were joking before when we first started practice, like, we didn't have that. Now there are researchers, and you can, and luckily, you know, our practice is successful enough where we can hire PhDs to say, hey, we like, here's what I have. We want to hire someone that could do the analytics. We want to hire someone and also, you know, another great for docs that are just starting, learn to delegate in your practice. I know what I'm good at. I know what my wife is good at. She does the things that she's better at. I do the things I'm better at. We have our front desk person, our manager. And the same with research is like, I don't know how to write it up. Like the T scores, like, it's not my strong suit, but there's people out there that I know that's what they do. So it's like, I'm going to send you this info. I'm not going to tell you what we're looking for. See what it shows. And then that's research. So yeah, it's luckily there are ways because of either now connections or social media where you can look up, like, here's a PhD looking for work that specializes in this. That was never a possibility when I first started my practice.
Right.
But never.
Yeah,
we didn't have Google.
You know what's interesting is that now when you come to school, Mary and Evan, you probably know this at Life West. I mean, we have students going to research in their first quarter, you know, second quarter. You know, we actually present to them the first quarter, who's interested in research. And we get hands that go up because in undergraduate, they were doing research, right?
Yep.
And they literally step in. And then when they graduate, we have research honor cords now that and they're doing really cool stuff here. And it's amazing. But most people, speaking of what Mary said, if we asked 100 practitioners what an IRB is, right, they'd have no idea what it is. And Mary, you might not even know what that is right now, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and we have an IRB here at the college, you know, and it's a review board that's able to, that's well, how would you say it, Evan? It's authorized, right? It's reached standards.
And they're making sure that what you're doing won't harm the public.
It's ethical. Right?
So it's an institutional review board that, and I've been on a couple, like, here's some studies that we want to do. Can we get IRB approval? And like a lot of car crash stuff is difficult because you can't say, hey, I'm going to take 10 Marys and 10 Rons and we're going to put them in a car and crash them.
Right.
And you're like, well, we can't accept that. Like, why? There's too much evidence that at whatever speed they could get hurt. There's a high risk. So we can't get approval for that. So, and then it's like, well, we're going to do this. Here's the pros and the cons. And then the board can vote if it'll get IRB approval based on safety of public health.
Right. And they make suggestions. They can do a bunch of stuff. And the cool thing about it, which I love, and Evan, I want to talk about this in a second, but the cool thing I love about the IRB is that they don't just say, oh, you're my friend, we'll let you go in. It's not like that. It has got to be, you know, because it's going to go in front of other people to get to get approved for the research, the actual research, not approved, but you know, when you go to put your paper in and they're going to see it right then, and the IRB will totally lose its, you know, all of its clout that it has. So it's really, really cool. But when we talk about like doing research, like you just talked about, you know, the car accidents, for instance, right? So then they get the crash test dummies and different things like that. And then chiropractic, we don't have that kind of setup anywhere, right? You know, we don't have the facilities to do that. But have you tapped into any universities or anywhere like that where?
Well, so we did, and I'll get back to the car crash one because we just published one in what's called the Journal of Diagnostics, which was the first, at least what we think, the first paper. And I think we had, so basically what we did, and we couldn't get an IRB. No one could get IRB. So you talked about crash dummies. Like, hey, what crash dummies, cadavers, what happens if you put an impact? And they can test like the shape of the neck or the anterior longitudinal ligament or some of the upper cervical ligaments that, hey, we see this amount of force, but you can't do it on humans. Well, we just published a paper that started back in 2006 with Deed. And what happened was we'd get patients that were in a crash, so their necks were bad, right? And then within 6 weeks of no real intervention, they got in another crash. Mm-hmm. And then we took their images. So if let's say we're treating them, and then they were close to getting another x-ray to see that maybe we did some real structural or stability changes and they got another crash. We didn't take them because there was too much potential change. Right. So what we did is we ended up, I think, with like 40 or 50 patients, and they were in a crash. And then very shortly after, they got in another crash, and then we took their images and then we blindly read them, digitization, to see, did their necks actually change? What happens? Because Yale and everyone else has published papers with cadavers and bio-rid dummies, but what does it do to the real live volunteer? And the only negative of the paper, I think, is we didn't start with healthy necks. They all had problems. But what we found was that their neck, even though it was a bad curve, their neck had what's called more of a snap-through buckling. So their mid-neck buckled more. They got more anterior head translation. Mm-hmm. They lost more of their curvature, and they had 10% of them had more anterolisthesis on lateral imaging. Mm-hmm. And we just published that in the Journal of Diagnostics. So from the chiropractic perspective, those are true subluxations. Like, those need to be addressed. And we showed that they got worse. You know, and then with the universities, when we published the journal, or we published our paper in the Journal of Brain Circulation, where we looked at, you know, we rented out an MRI center here, my wife and I, and we took a bunch of patients that we knew had an abnormal curve. And there were studies on ultrasound that abnormal curves can decrease hemodynamics or blood flow. So we rented out an MRI center. We knew they had abnormal curves. And we had a PhD from the university here. and the tech at this MRI center, and we did MRI angiograms, and we looked at their circle of Willis, and we had them laying flat with their abnormal curve. And then we, without them getting off the table, so there's no skull extension, there was no, well, maybe they took Tylenol all that night, or people would argue, without getting off table, we put them into, it was actually a modified Denerol to fit into the MRI machine to put a normal lordosis in, and then did another. And then we did have someone from the University of Colorado, a PhD, do what's called, they measure the pixel intensity. And what we found is that a loss of cervical curve can decrease blood flow to the brain by up to like 200%.
Wow.
So, and that was, you know, we hired a PhD from CU. And then, you know, and then we did, let's see, we had someone from the University of Mansteritz, I think that's how you say it, in Sweden, who, you know, is Michael Freeman. If you know him, he's a chiropractor. He's a master in public health. He's a forensic epidemiologist, and he's an MD PhD.
Jeez.
Who worked on a big paper where we looked at cervical biomechanics of about 200 people, looking at 37 parameters on digital motion x-ray, which actually Brian Gatterman is on. The radiologist, we used him as well to blindly read it, where we now established the likelihood of abnormal mechanics or instability on live viewing digital motion x-ray between injured and non-injured patients. And then you can say like, oh, here's a C5, C6 facet gapping. And then they're like, well, how do you know that's a pathology? And our paper, we're like, well, in the asymptomatic group, which was counted as someone who never had neck pain that lasted more than a week, right? So maybe someone got up like, oh, my neck was stiff for a few days. They were allowed in. But most of these patients had chronic pain of 6 weeks or more. And now we could say that person is 32% or 32 times more likely to have or not have this based on whether they're chronic. And from a chiropractic perspective, they're all biomechanical changes of the spine that I believe chiropractic can change and fix. Yeah. So we've worked with some universities like that, or people from universities.
I mean, to me, Mary, that's music to my ears. I mean, because of the seat I'm in. 15 years ago, I'd be on tilt right now. My red light would be going off. Like, it'd just be too much for me. I mean, but it's so beautiful because, you know, the efficacy of what we do is so cool. It's so powerful. You talk about the circle of Willis and talk about increased blood flow to the brain. And, you know, it's just like, it's just huge. And I want to put this out to you, Evan. I want to put this out to you. I don't know if you know this, but we have a CBCT, cone beam computer tomography, here at the campus.
Right? Yep.
If you want to do any research around that, because, you know, the structural with a CBCT, and for our viewers, you know, it's like when you go to the dentist, they do a panoramic of, you know, of your teeth, right? Kind of thing. Well, it does the same thing of your spine, and you can literally just, you can take the anterior arch of the atlas and you can just erase it, put it back whenever you want to. You know, it's like a digital game that you could play, right? You want to move the dens, take the dens off, and you can see what's going on behind it, you know? So if there's ever anything there, I want to put it out to you, man.
Because, oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I mean, and again, to reiterate, like, that's, for me, that's why, you know, I like to, even though it's a lot of work and like, oh, I'm tired, is what we do has, you know, and I joked about this before, where some people don't like this joke. I'm like, I think we should get rid of spa day. I think the science has already proven our philosophy, right? We've mentioned our philosophy is a subluxation decreases our nerve function and it decreases blood flow. Like, I don't think that's a philosophy anymore. We've shown that. And Journal of Neurosurgery and everything else has shown that even a kyphotic alignment or malalignment decreases microvasculature to the anterior horn of the spinal cord. Like, that was our philosophy. Like, chiropractors were so far ahead of the game, we didn't have the technology to view it. And I've joked, I'm like, we just need spa day. Like, the science has, like, it's better for your body. Yeah, we know getting adjusted helps. We know subluxations dramatically increase arthritis, decrease blood flow. That's all shown in the research. And when we see that, and why we publish it, is like, this is why patients get better in our office when they've been told for the last 15 years, there's nothing that could be done. I mean, look, most of the things that you see when someone has, let's say, a buckled neck or instability, true subluxation, what do they tell them? Like, wait until it's surgical. Like, really, there's nothing to do to prevent it from getting surgical? And that's us.
Yeah.
And it's so like what we do.
And listen, so the powerful. The surgery is one thing, right? If seriously, the surgery is one thing, and that's traumatic.
Yep.
But what their health and what lead before the surgery, I mean, they're just deteriorating neurologically, right? And then physiologically, it's
right.
And it's crazy.
And I'm glad, you know, like I used to be a little harder on surgeons, you know, like look, everyone, every profession has the good and the bad. And there's definitely surgeons out there that do like that was an unnecessary surgery because it paid $400,000 or something. But I am glad there's times like, hey, traumas, like cords get compressed. And I've been lucky enough where I've been invited in with the head neurosurgeon here to watch some of these. And he's published papers on fusing necks and oral lordosis because they get better outcomes. And, you know, we're all trying to like, we know that chronic pain and issues, even no matter how good you might be adjusted, the real world can affect that and speed up problems. But what we can do and how we can decrease the likelihood of needing decrease the likelihood of disability that's going to lead to, you know, severe interventions is exciting. And that's what we do as chiropractors.
Absolutely.
So I have a question. So the research is so awesome and it's great. And it's like, I heard what you said about, yeah, like we sometimes talk about the philosophy, or there's chiropractors like, I only like to talk about the philosophy. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, well, if you talk about the science, you don't have to ever talk about the philosophy.
And also like the philosophy now, there's science to show that that philosophy isn't even a philosophy anymore.
Right. It's a science.
And all it does is back up chiropractic. But I've had, you know, and I hate the straight or like we're chiropractors, but some that get mad, I'm like, this only validates what we do.
That's right.
It's you can show it. And like, yeah, that's your philosophy. But I'm like, but I have a little secret for you. There's actually science to show that your philosophy is correct.
Right.
Like but this malalignment.
If you talk to a philosopher, it's philosophy isn't all of this airy fairy kind of, you know, philosophy is only real. It's proven by science, and science should always have a strong philosophy behind it. Right.
Right.
Meaning that they are so they're first cousins. They are so interconnected, you know, that it one doesn't eliminate the other. It forces the other, right?
100%. I think a lot of things that we don't know yet, like, and that's the hard part of being a provider, right? Being a chiropractor. We can see things and we can analyze things and we have a good idea, but we just don't have the technology yet to even know if that's completely right yet, right? And we've all seen the studies where they've taken dead bodies from crashes and then they x-ray them, CT them, MRI them, and then they do that cryomicrotome where they freeze them and then slice them.
Yeah.
And the amount of pathologies that they see when they cut the person open that is not identified on imaging is crazy, right? So like that philosophy is like, well, we think this happened, and then hopefully we'll have ways to identify that. And that's the same with us. Our philosophy, let's say, like, you know, I wasn't trying to prove that an abnormal curve decreased blood flow, but I was like, my philosophical belief of what we're seeing here and why I think you're getting better, I think it's kind of linked to this. So let me see if we can find out a way to see if that is or is not true. And when we did the MR angiograms, even the tech from the MRI, he was like, oh, like, wow. I'm like, but what's funny is like, but then he's like, but it totally makes sense. I'm like, totally makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, it does. What we do makes sense.
You know, it's so beautiful.
I was going to say, so one more, I know we're getting down to that, like that time. What are you doing? Not you personally, but I kind of want to know what you're doing personally. The people who do research to get the word out.
You know, so I don't want to give a plug, but I do have a website called professionallyintegrated.com that I know Carrie Duggins, I gave her access for her students. And I have hundreds and hundreds of articles and webinars with other docs. And what I do is I get that out. And I, you know, I have a lot of, you know, controversy where I'm like, look, we need to stop. And this is going to be controversial, but we need to stop with the sales coaches selling chiropractic. I'm like, we don't need to sell chiropractic. We need to educate, right? Once you educate, you never have to sell again. And people are like, well, you educating is a form of sales. I'm like, well, if you want to call it that, but we're at the age where if you tell someone, well, you know, this subluxation here can decrease blood flow to your brain, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go home and they're going to Google it. And they're going to come across some crappy anti-chiropractic. Like, you know, so what we've done in our office and how, you know, why we, how we run our office with professionally integrated is I print this stuff out. I show it to patients, send them the videos like, hey, here's an article from Journal of Neurosurgery that a neck just like yours actually can compress the cord and lead to abnormal microvascular changes. And I'm educating them, right? I'm not selling them like a chiropractor's going to get you better. I want, and the same when I, whenever I've gone to a doctor or let's say a dentist, cause you know, with my teeth and they're like, you need this. I'm like, well, don't tell me what I need. Like educate me on why do I need that? That's like, right. How is this affecting me? And that's always worked for me. So I've always argued, I'm like, we need to stop selling chiropractic doesn't need to be sold. Right. What we need to do is educate the population about what these spinal subluxations are, what the evidence is, and how we can fix them. So when we show it to our patients, they're like, oh, yeah. And then they're educated, they're informed on it. And then the same thing with like the MRI tech. Like I didn't sell him. He was like, oh my gosh. And then, hey, here's another paper that shows that. Here's this. And we've done that with, you know, I actually just did a webinar on the head of the emergency room of all the hospitals here. And with the evidence like this, the research where their goal at the hospital now is they call them ALTOs, right? Alternatives to opioids, because they're under strict scrutiny where someone comes in severe pain. And, you know, I've been there and they're not a surgical candidate, but the hospital has they need to do something for this person. They have nothing to offer. So I teach these docs, how do you educate the emergency room so that you're in their system, you get direct referrals. And now you have emergency room physicians that are like, you're not selling them, you're educating them. Like, look, you see these same pathologies. You can call it what you will, we can call it what we will, but here's what they are. And then like, you actually can correct that? We're like, yeah, actually. And let me show you, not only can we correct that, there's other things that we could correct too, so that we keep them out of pain. And that only helps the hospital. The patients are more satisfied. Like, oh, I got this great referral. They, you know, so I just think we get it out there by, you know, educating one person at a time. Every patient should be educated on the importance, you know, and I say this too, not necessarily on chiropractic, but your chiropractic, right? What are you doing for this patient? What did you say? And then what evidence is there that shows that this affects them and that you can fix it? And then it just, you know, like all the, you know, I don't do any advertising, like no Facebook ads, because, you know, I I'm worth more than $20 to come in, and, you know, and
hey, maybe referrals, results speak for themselves.
And educated patients,
right,
know when they're being educated and they know when they're being sold. Right. So I'm trying to teach, like, we need to educate what we do. Like what we do is so powerful. There isn't anything else that can do it.
Yeah. I love it, man. You are awesome. And
I gotcha.
There is so much, you know, that, and seriously, you know, to our viewers, we're scratching the surface right now. You know, when I hear what Evan's doing, I feel like you're at the top of the, you know, you're climbing that mountain, you're getting way up there. But the truth is, and you are in the chiropractic world, but the truth is, you know, we got so much that we can do, and there's so much great stuff out there that, you know, we're going to have do a whole nother segment on this, you know.
Yeah, and we can't, and not to plug this either, but all this is because of Life West. Like the school pushed me, you know, and I've always said this, like to any doc that's coming, I've had a couple docs that I sent over to go to school there is like, and the same is true with practice. You're going to get what you want out of it. Mm-hmm. And if you're just going to pass, like, you know, like my daughter, she's at a university. I remember I was like walking through this university, and now as an adult, right? It's so different than when we were there. Yeah. And you're adults in school, and I'm like looking around, I'm like, everything here, right? Which I didn't see it at Life West as much as I do now. Everything at Life West is there to help you succeed. But so many of us, and I'm guilty too, don't take full advantage.
Yeah.
Like you're there. You have nothing else to do. You have no money as a student. Like, take advantage of it, because that's when you should make mistakes. Ask questions, learn. And like, that's what Life West did. Like what Carrie Duggins did for me is like, look at what you have here. You have you have every doc that's there that is waiting for your question to help you. And it's better to ask when you're in school than when you get out and be like,
Absolutely.
And West just molded me that way.
Absolutely. Dude, I love you, man. That's such great. We've kind of reached our witching hour, but we have a couple of questions we have to ask you.
Yeah.
So we do this with every one of our guests on Life by Life West. And Mary, you doing the first or I'm doing the first?
I'll do the first. But before I do that, it's funny that you said we'll do a second part to this because I'm writing notes over here and I was thinking I would like to go down a rabbit hole with you of just talking about like what you just said was golden, like getting people the difference between learning about chiropractic and believing in chiropractic.
Yeah.
You know, people go, do you believe in it? Or patients go, I believe in it. So that's a rabbit hole for another day.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's get some carrots and go down that rabbit hole.
Good. Okay. So the first question. So now with all your vast wisdom and knowledge, if you could go back to Evan, the first quarter student on the first day, and you're standing in front of him, what advice would you give him now?
Yeah. And innately, what comes innately? 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Exactly what I said. Take advantage of Life West, everything. Don't worry about getting home early. And also don't stress about the tests as much as you think. Because in the real world, when you get out, those tests, as stressful as they feel, you'll get through them. But learn. Don't just memorize so you pass a test. Learn what the professors are teaching you. Learn, like, how is this important to me? And some of them, you don't think they are, but they do come up in the real world. And just be fine with living at the school. Like, stay late, go early, ask questions, like, everything is there. I wish I remember. Oh, and also one other thing, every seminar that you go to as a student, every doc that you listen to, take a note of it and make sure you keep it sort of either part of your CV when you become a professional, because right now you can go to all the seminars pretty much for free. Take advantage. Like, oh, it's the weekend. No. When you get out as a doc, you're paying serious coin for those. Yeah. Go.
I love it. All right. I got the second question. I love that. Great advice. I got the second question. The second question is this. Where you are right now, right, in your life and chiropractic, and you're going to be speaking now to Dr. Evan, who just graduated. What advice would you give him?
Keep grinding. You know, and the beauty is, like, when I got out, you have nowhere to go but up. And the other big advice is chiropractic is amazing to get done, but it can be really hard in your own body, especially if you start going too fast and not paying attention to your own body mechanics when you're treating patients. So you can't treat patients if you don't take care of yourself. Yeah. And have faith in what you do. Don't worry about how many patients visit a week. Treat every patient how you want to be treated and educate them and give them everything that they're there for, and your practice will grow.
I love it.
Great advice.
Beautiful advice. Wow, man. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Evan. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And you know, we love and appreciate you. And I just love your passion and I love your energy. And I love that you got that right side and left side of the brain really balanced around chiropractic. So my cup is filled, man.
Well, I appreciate you both.
Anytime
I'll go down any rabbit hole because
good.
I love talking about this.
Oh, man, she's going to take you down the rabbit hole. So what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think also, like, you know, like you were talking about Miles, like, I love being with people like that and like you, that they're going to ask questions to push you. And that's the thing. We need to stop getting mad when a chiropractor says, well, how do you know? And just realize those are questions that only will make us better.
That's right.
Right. Like, let's question ourselves. Let's, you know, show and prove what we do is so valuable.
Yeah. And what do they say? You know, like the music is between the notes, you know, the answers are always between the questions, you know, it's that pause time where you get to think about
And
see that and ponder on it. But thank you, man. Thank you, Evan, for joining us.
Awesome.
Of course, Mary, thank you. And to our audience, thank you. Thank you for coming, you know, being with us week in and week out and spreading these. There's a lot of chiropractors who want to hear or should hear what Dr. Evan just shared today. Someone who might not have the confidence, or someone who might be struggling, or someone who really wants to take it to the top of the mountain and they're working their way going up. Because the truth is like, you know, everything that he just talked about was, we have everything at our disposal. It's really just kind of reaching in and working with that, finding that way. And I love what you said, man, because it's kind of like, embrace the grind, embrace it, because from that grind is where the trophies come from, you know, the Super Bowls and everything else. You got to grind it to get it, and it could be fun. And that's the whole purpose. So thank you. Yeah. And we'll be coming at you again next week. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks are LifeWest Leadership Lines, but we'll be coming back at you again. Just remember that you are much more powerful than you were ever led to believe. And that all we have to do is embrace that power and take it within us and start becoming all that we're meant to be. And that's for every single one of us. And just know that we love and appreciate you. And we'll see you at the next Life by LifeWest.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.